With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He is with USA Today, works for DraftWire, and so anything on the draft, Luke Easterling is writing it like absolute crazy. And he joins us now on the hotline. Hello, Luke.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Very well. And you can follow him on Twitter at Luke Easterling. That is correct, right? E-A-S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G?
That's it.
All righty. But not to be confused with former Indian Luke Easter, who played here in Cleveland.
No, not to be confused at all. I'm probably way better at baseball than I was.
You have a story out from 20 hours ago. Winners and losers from the combine. First name, quarterback, Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma. Luke, I'm sorry, he looked really short at the combine. That doesn't mean anything maybe to most people. Here in Cleveland, where Hugh Jackson says he likes tall quarterbacks, maybe that means something. Does it?
I'm sure it'll mean something to somebody. But me, you know, I looked at all those quarterbacks, and what I saw was the most mechanically sound, the most consistent passer all day. At the combine, and it matches up with what you see on film. He's a guy who can make plays in the pocket, out of the pocket, make consistent throws, make them all over the field. I just see a very consistent quarterback who's not as tall as you want him to be, and if that's really the only thing that I'm using to pick apart a guy, you know, I'll take that. You know, it is rare to have a short quarterback be, you know, successful. I'm not saying he's going to be Russell Wilson or Drew Brees, but when everything else kind of, you know, when you check all the other boxes, it's becomes kind of hard to get hung up on that one thing, in my opinion.
Then you have Josh Allen, and he was your runner-up at the quarterback spot. And I thought it was interesting, Luke, during the combine, shortly after the combine, man, everybody had a buzz about him. And since then, I've heard people say, well, you know, he had all the measurables, but he still only completed 56% of his passes at Wyoming. What do you think of Allen?
Yeah, you know, Allen's a guy who the athleticism and the arm talent was never the question. That's what overshadows all the other things, all the negatives, you know. So going into the combine, where that's an event that's supposed to accentuate those athletic traits, you're throwing around in spandex with, you know, no defense and those sorts of things. You're supposed to be able to look good when that's kind of your calling card. So it didn't surprise me that Allen did well, but you do still have to deliver. You do still have to show up and do those things, which I think he did a pretty good job of living up to the high expectations for his talent. The problem is when you turn on the tape, and there's actually, you know, opponents and other players trying to stop you from doing what you want to do, that's where things kind of fell apart for him, especially last season, especially against Power 5 schools. When you're struggling against Hawaii and your best game is against Gardner-Webb, you know, those are the things that make me wonder if a guy can be handed the keys to a franchise as a top 5, top 10 pick, and you're expecting a guy that struggled with accuracy. It's just, you know, there's so many questions about that guy, and we have a quarterback class that I just think offers so much more in terms of, you know, pro readiness with Josh Rosen at UCLA, upside with the physical tools. If you want a strong-armed guy who maybe is a little more raw, you got Sam Darnold from USC that played well against big schools. There's just so many other options in this quarterback class that I could spend the top 10 pick on. Allen falls out of my top 5 quarterbacks in this draft for that reason.
Luke, who is, and regardless of position, and I think sometimes here in Cleveland we're getting caught up on quarterback and perhaps running back. Who is the most NFL-ready player that you witnessed this weekend?
I think my entire draft board has been for a while, and I think will be until April 26th. It'll be Saquon Barkley at number 1A and Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame, at 1B. I think those two players are two of the most complete players I've graded in 17, 18 years of doing this now. I just feel like those guys are going to come right out of the gate and be all pro players who can play in any scheme for any team, any down. I think Quentin Nelson could play tackle if you wanted to. He could play across the entire line. I think Saquon Barkley is a better natural receiver than probably half the receivers in this draft. Those two players are just two rare players. I don't see them coming off the top of my board.
Luke Easterling joining us from USA Today's Draft Wire. So with that in mind, you're the Browns. You're sitting at number one. Can you take Saquon Barkley there?
Of course you can, because you have another pick at number 4 and a quarterback class that will give you all but probably one of those other quarterbacks at number four. So if Saquon Barkley to you is the best overall player in this draft, and you know you can, you got a pretty darn good chance of getting the quarterback that you want at four, maybe even moving up a spot or two like we saw the four, the Bears do last year with the 49ers to make sure they got Mitchell Trubisky. The Browns want to make a move from four up to three or two to make sure they get whatever quarterback they want, and you end up with the best overall player in the draft and also the franchise quarterback that John Dorsey determines to be his kind of hand-picked guy. Absolutely, you can take that guy at number one.
What is separating these quarterbacks when you look at the quarterbacks? What's the difference between your top quarterback and maybe your second, third, fourth?
Honestly, I think what we tend to forget is that every quarterback in this class has flaws that kind of can discount them if you want it to, sure, or, you know, match up to another guy and separate him. So, you know, we've seen a lot of talk about Lamar Jackson from Louisville and what could limit him at the next level as a quarterback. And I haven't seen similar criticisms of the flaws of the other players. You've obviously got the size questions with Baker Mayfield, and, you know, can his personality be a positive and not a negative at the next level when the stage could be bigger, especially if he ends up, you know, we got two teams in New York who need a quarterback in the top five, top 10. If he goes to a big market like that, is he going to be able to be the competitive, fiery guy he is without that becoming a negative thing? You know, Josh Rosen, probably the most pro-ready guy, the most polished, but he's had shoulder injury. He's had concussion issues. You know, he's got durability questions as well. Josh Allen, we talked about his struggles on film earlier. Sam Darnold, what a roller coaster of a season he had. We've had really high highs, and the lows were really, really head-scratching. So I think what separates these guys and what will separate them at the end of the day is what happens behind closed doors, the interviews with teams, how comfortable they feel with each of these guys, you know, matching with what they want to do offensively and what the coach is going to be able to do to marry their scheme around those quarterbacks. For me, it's just a matter of, I mean, they're really not that far apart. It is just a matter of trying to say, do I prioritize certain flaws over others? I worry about durability with some guys. And at the end of the day, if I'm taking a quarterback, I understand that that pick's either going to give me an extension in a couple of years or probably going to get me fired. So Lamar Jackson, in my opinion, I'm swinging for the fences with that guy. I want the upside. I want the fact that everybody in this class has flaws. He has a weapon in his athleticism, his ability to make plays when the pocket breaks down, that nobody else in this class has, and I think that's what separates him from the rest of the group.
Luke Easterling joining us from DraftWire USA Today. The Browns clearly are thinking quarterback, looking quarterback, either at one or at four. Barkley is clearly a superior talent to everybody else in the draft, so it would seem. Is there a defensive guy out there, Luke, if you're the Browns, would make you think maybe we don't try to get the quarterback or get Saquon Barkley?
I think the only guy in that conversation is probably Bradley Chubb, the defensive end out of North Carolina State. I know they spent the number one pick on Myles Garrett last year. Ogba had a great season. I think he's a talented young player. But, I mean, the NFL has proven you can never have too many pass rushers and you can never have too much depth on defense, especially up front. So if you can envision, especially on third downs, if you want a pass rushing group with the two of those guys on the field and a guy like Bradley Chubb, I think that could entice a team like the Browns. I just don't know if it's the year to do that. With the offensive playmakers, if they want to get a quarterback and add some firepower, I think the defensive guy that might make the best fit if they want to get a quarterback and maybe wait on a running back, if it's not Bradley Chubb at four, it's Minkah Fitzpatrick, a guy that can play corner or safety, slot, outside, can play anywhere with needs kind of at both levels in the secondary. He could make sense too.
Luke, I'm just curious, what's the feeling on the Browns right now that it's all football people in there right now? John Dorsey's leading the pack out there. And I'm just wondering, you know, when you think about the Browns going into this draft, do you have confidence in them to make good selections maybe compared to the past? And, you know, and wondering how they compare to just even 6 months ago to where they are right now with all the guys they brought in.
I wouldn't call it confidence as much as I just have hope. You know, even the pessimists across, you know, the league or whether it's fans or whatever, they'll look at the fact that the Browns, I think, have six of the first 65 picks in this draft and wonder how in the world can they screw this up, even the Browns. But me, you know, I'll try to take a positive take on it. I'll look and say, listen, you do have, you know, some new decision makers in there. You do have a ton of athleticism and young talent that they added last year. Three first round picks, the three of the most athletic players in that class in Garrett, Jabril Peppers, and David Njoku. just, you know, there's tons of building blocks on both sides of the ball and just a ridiculous amount of picks and plenty of cap room and free agency to spend. So I'm looking forward. If I was a Browns fan, that, you know, obviously you've had a tough run of things lately, but there's no reason to be anything but hopeful that this can be the offseason that finally, you know, takes that next step to get them out of the cellar, to get them competitive, maybe not this year, but, you know, a couple of years down the road.
Luke Easterling joining us, DraftWire USA Today. You mentioned earlier Josh Allen, despite what he did at the Combine and what most folks are saying, has dropped out of your top five of quarterbacks. Where is he, and what is your top five?
Yeah, you know, he not so much dropped out of the top five. He's kind of always been outside the top five because I just didn't see a quarterback on film that I'm comfortable taking over the five that I have ahead of him. Again, Lamar Jackson is number one for me, for better or for worse. I know a lot of people have an issue with that. I just see a guy who has his own flaws just like everybody else in this class, but has a rare trait, his ability to make plays with his legs, and also showed a huge amount of development as a pocket passer from the 2016 film, which I think a lot of people are still assuming that's the Lamar Jackson we still have now. He was so much better as a pocket passer in 2017, and people really need to know that. After that, it's a really close race between Josh Rosen of UCLA, who's my quarterback two, and then Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield are really close to a tie there, three and four. Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State is five ahead of Josh Allen for me. Again, I see probably at least three of those guys going in the top 10, if not four. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see five or six in the first round, which has only happened once, and that was that legendary 83 class.
Could you see the Browns taking somebody, one of those guys at one or four, and then if one of them is sitting there with one of those top two picks in the second round, taking another quarterback?
I'm going to have to make you guys wait for my mock draft on Wednesday to find out.
Nice. All right, we might be thinking along the same lines there. What do you think of DeShone Kizer's year as a rookie? And do the Browns need to give him consideration moving forward, Luke?
I tell you what, if I were to write a book on how to set a young quarterback up for some struggle, that might have been the way he was used last year. You know, if you're going to take a quarterback, not just any young quarterback, but a guy who, you know, everybody who analyzes prospects kind of understood that he wasn't going to be the most pro-ready guy. If anybody in that class was going to be able to start right away from day one and not, you know, take his lumps in a big way, he was not the guy that came to mind. So to have a guy like him who needed to be, you know, needed some patience, needed, you know, stability to be able to acclimate to the NFL game and learn things slowly, to be, you know, thrown into the fire right away and then benched and then put back in and then take it, like, that's the recipe for disaster for any young quarterback, but particularly one that I think needed some patience and needed the ability to wait behind a veteran. I don't know how you can look at anything that happened negatively in his rookie season and put a lot of that on him. I think that if I were the Browns, I would give strong consideration depending on how I feel about his development, his ability to be the guy. Again, you always see new general managers come in and a lot of times want to get their own guy especially with one of those high picks. But, you know, if you can feel confident in his ability to learn from those mistakes and come in a much better player in year two, and use all those other picks to build around a young quarterback like that, he's got the tools to do it. I would just like to see some more stability around him, and it wouldn't hurt to have a guy like that and a rookie come in, fight for it, you know, and maybe he ends up being a trade piece. But definitely think that there's still some good football ahead for Kizer.
So do you have any confidence in Hugh Jackson's ability if they go draft somebody at number one or number four?
I wouldn't say confidence. I'd say hope at this point. I'd hope that John Dorsey and the people that they've added to that front office have the ability to pull from their experience to keep building. I think they did a good job drafting a lot of young, raw talent last year. We saw some flashes, but they have an opportunity with those, you know, that huge truckload of early picks this year to really build a team that Hugh Jackson can be successful with.
Luke Easterling, DraftWire USA Today. Follow him on Twitter at Luke Easterling. And Luke, we appreciate your time. Some good insight.
Thanks, Luke.
Hey. No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, busy time for Luke, and we appreciate him taking the time to be with us here on Baskin and Phelps.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.